All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Tuesday, July 26th. I'm Doug Norrie. That's Austin Varney. How's it going, Austin?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Austin just heard me go through three or four times through the opening where I just could not get the date and the day correct, but he's a patient guy, and you only get to hear the right one once. We're here from DFSR, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, here to help you make Major League Baseball lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free content over on the site. You can also check out a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab that helps you calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Baseball, NFL coming soon, of course. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And it only took me one take to get through that salesy part, so we are on the upswing here, dude. Austin, you wrote the picks last night. I think I wrote a note to you when we were kind of like trading some emails about things today. I think I just wrote like pitching, oof, or something like that, or eesh, or yeah. something along those lines. Was that your feeling when you started to take a look at like how pitching was breaking down today?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't know if there's been a slate this big with pitching being so bad. Usually it's like 6 or 7 games and there's just no one. Mm-hmm. But here it's just, it's like 3 guys and you kind of like them, but you kind of don't. You see a hole in everyone, so... Yeah, I don't like it at all.
Yeah, it's just the prices are. I mean, the one good thing is that we're gonna get to each of these guys in a second here, but the one good thing is, yes, the pitching options are not very good, but at least none of them are really expensive. Like, I don't think you're forced to pay a total premium on the guys who actually can pitch, which is the only upshot to the whole thing is that you're gonna get at least some savings where I don't know, if some of these guys were priced into like the upper tier, I'd be really, yeah, really worried, but that's not the case. So let's go. You said there's 3 guys that stand out to you. I'm wondering if your 3 are the same 3 as mine. I suspect that we have at least 2 guys worth of overlap. But walk me through your thoughts on some of the pitching to consider today.
The 3 for me, at least these are the 3 guys I'm gonna consider in cash games, mm-hmm, are Tillman, Stroman, and Norris.
Okay.
And I could see Salazar or Felix. I could see the reasoning behind it. The matchup's pretty tough for cash games for me. And those 3 guys, I mean, I guess Stroman, same thing every day. Padres, righties. Mm-hmm. It's just, saw it again yesterday. And speaking in terms of Bud Norris, I probably targeted him just as much as anyone, when he would pitch for the Braves and start and suck, but his velocity upped a little bit since he's entered the starting lineup or the starting rotation for the second time this year. Got traded, pitched decent, but he's not a great pitcher by any means, but he's getting run support. He's improved a little bit, and the Rays are not really a lineup to be scared of.
Right. So, okay, so we'll back up for 1 second. Stroman, I'm with you because the two of the 3 overlap. One is Stroman. The Padres are just a bad team still. We keep hammering home every day. I know sometimes people feel like they got burned because they've showed some power recently. They were getting some balls to get up and get out against some good pitching. They're still bad, right? So I'm just not worried. Even though they've added a couple lefty bats to the lineup, which was hurting them early in the year, like they add Dickerson, they add Schimpf, that does make them a little better against righties, and those guys can actually swing a little bit, but I'm still not worried about it. Stroman's such a huge money line favorite today. I think he was bet up to somewhere like around 250. Yeah, he's at minus 243 right now. That's actually, it's the highest money line, but it's not far and away the highest one. There's a couple, mm-hmm, other ones that are interesting here. Norris, I tend to agree with you in the sense that he has been better. He's still not good, but no. But the strikeout uptick over 92 innings. I mean, 92 innings is sort of getting in that good enough for me sample size. It's not great, but if you can maintain an 8K plus per 9 over 92 innings in the majors, then I tend to think that there's something realish about it.
Yeah.
And the Rays do strike out a ton. His money line is not really on that elite level, but that's because the Rays have Archer going on the other side, though the Dodgers are still favored. So I'm with you on those 2 guys. You got to probably convince me a little bit on Tillman, though.
I mean, he's been good this year. His big problem's usually been against righties. He's had a 282 WOBA against them this year. Camden Yards is scary, but we saw, who did it last night? Gallardo. He's atrocious, and he had a good game. And he's been pitching well. So is everyone on this entire team. Last 2 years, they've been people to target, Gausman and Tillman and Vance Worley, but They've been pitching well. I think the run support's definitely going to be there against Bettis. I really like the Orioles' offense. So I'm not too worried about the win. And he's held a good hard contact rate on the year at 30%. I mean, I don't think he has a ton of upside, but I do think he can limit the Rockies to around two or three runs in six innings and get the W.
Yeah, he's another guy with a big money line today. There's a couple guys, right? So he's around minus 220, which is pretty great considering his skill set. And the run line's ticked up a little bit, but mostly in favor of the Orioles. His peripherals are just not good enough for me. Like, his peripherals are a little bit worse than Norris's. And yeah, the park is worse, and the matchup is probably, the matchup's probably about equal, I would say, all things considered. It's really hard to judge the Rockies because they're just a totally different team away from home, and they're just, these guys look better on paper than they really are because they spend half their time in Coors. So I always find it a little difficult to judge exactly what to expect out of the Rockies, though, you know, Vegas doesn't think there's anything to be scared of. His peripherals, to me, are the stay away. He strikes out less, only about 7.5 per 9. He walks almost 3.5. It's almost cutting out a little too close, I think, in terms of peripherals. Like I said, Norris is kind of in that same range. You said Salazar maybe. Give me like the pluses and minuses for Salazar.
Well, the Nationals can strike out a ton. Their lineup isn't the same as it should be at the beginning of the year. But the minuses is there's still, you know, Murphy, Harper, Worth, Ramos, Zimmerman, Rendon in there.
Right.
And that's scary in cash games, which is why I like him so much in tournaments, because if his stuff is on, not a single one of those guys is going to be able to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same boat as Archer in a way. You know, if Archer's slider's working and his fastball is being located, I don't care who it is, they can't hit him. So if he's on, he can easily be, you know, have the top score of the night. But if he's off, he could easily get kicked out in four innings and six walks.
One has the strikeout upside of him. His strikeout upside is higher than basically probably anyone else on the slate, I would say. I mean, maybe Archer's matchup's a little worse against the Dodgers. Yeah. So, although it's funny to think that because maybe it's not worse than the Dodgers. I mean, the Nationals are a weird team because they have a couple of those lefty bats in the middle of the order, like you said, with Harper and Murphy, that are elite-level bats. But the rest of their lineup, they have no other real lefties to speak of. I mean, like, Ben Revere's a nobody, and I'm not sure after that Clint Robinson, if they were to play him, I think, is a lefty. But, like, those guys are total nobodies. And then they run the right-handed bats down the rest of the lineup. And when that's the case, Salazar will – it's a little harder to think about him running into trouble, especially when you get past the middle of the order. But the middle of the order guys are so scary that it makes me worried. So the thing with Salazar is he's just not that expensive. So on FanDuel, $10,000, that's creeping up into the sort of the danger zone. But on DraftKings, he's only $9,500. I think you can easily play $9,500 Danny Salazar in cash games on DraftKings. It's just you're not paying over $10 for a strikeout rate and an upside that's – significantly higher than anybody else on the slate. I think it ends up being, for me, Salazar and Stroman on DraftKings. I mean, I know it's early right now, but those two guys, I think those two present the best combination of safety and upside that you can probably get on the slate. But even if you don't roster Salazar, if you roster anyone else that we just talked about, you can basically pay for any set of bats that you want to on the slate. You know, if you're doing any, even those two guys, Salazar and Stroman, you're paying less than, I don't know, 18K or something like that for the two pitchers. And after that, it's a field day with the bats.
Yeah, it's a weird slate because usually, you know, I wouldn't like Chris Tillman. That's not someone I'd like.
Sure, sure.
Just the nature of the game. But, I mean, even though it's so bad, there are still, like, talented guys, I guess, taking them out. Gio's talented. Obviously, Felix is super talented. Jaime Garcia has talent. So I think there are going to be a few guys who have really good games, but I just don't think the matchups are ones where we can pinpoint them and take advantage of it.
Yeah, I'm realizing that I need to update the system because I don't think I have – the doubleheaders always screw things up with the Mets and Cardinals, so I need to take a look at – who's pitching for the Mets tonight against Garcia?
Bartolo, so I can't play Greg Garcia.
Oh, okay. So I need to take a look at that in a little bit. But, yeah, that's a good point. Like, it's not a cavalcade of bums taking the mound. Oh, although there are some bums. But, yeah. even Liriano is decent. He was great last game out. Hendricks against the White Sox. Yeah, so I think there are a couple other pitchers that people might be able to talk themselves into. Those are probably stayaways for me. I mean, Hendricks, like, at 11,000 on DraftKings is a total stayaway. He's always overpriced. Yeah. But, like, Liriano has some strikeout upside. people might talk themselves into Stephen Wright because of the wins. It's not for me personally. But, yeah, you're right. There are other guys, like Sonny Gray's going against Texas. There are other guys who have, I don't know, major league makeups. But there's just, like, even like the guys at the top, there's just huge question marks around all their matchups.
Yeah, and I mean, they're obviously great for tournaments because they can go out there and do everything. But, you know, when you're trying to pinpoint consistency and safety, you can't really deal with any of them.
No, it's tough. I like Felix, the pitch count worries me. Like Liriano, the walks always worry me. Seattle has a couple guys that they'll throw at the top of the lineup for righties. But
I would say if anyone does have a lot of upside, it's Liriano. 5 or 6 times a year, he'll just go out and dominate. This could be easily be one of the times against a Mariners lineup that's a lot worse against lefties. I could definitely see it because Cruz can even strike out a ton against lefties. He destroys them, but you know if he's not hitting, he can strike out a ton. Cano, Dejo Lee, Seager, Zanino is going to be in there. So, I mean, I could see it. I don't like him at all in cash games, but I could see him as a tournament flyer, especially if you think he's going to be super low-owned.
Well, the thing, he's a little more on the radar now because last game he came out, our system loved him at the price point he was at last time. I think it was like around six grand on DraftKings, something like that. It was really low. It was coming off some just poor performances. And then last game, he goes out 6 innings, 13 Ks. I mean, that is far and away his best game this season. And that will be fresh in people's minds because he was somewhat of a chalky play at the time. Now, the price has jumped a lot up to 8,300. So it gets a little bit out of the value zone. And it jumped up so much based on that last thing. But yeah, he does have that strike. When he gets it rolling, the curveball is going and he's at least locating the fastball. He's a very live arm. It's just that, man, the wheels come off for him quick sometimes. Like, you will not see another Liriano performance where he has 13 Ks and 0 walks. Like, he's just the guy. That will not happen. It just won't happen again. The guy walks too many guys. But the matchup's there and the upside's there for sure. Okay. To recap and say, you know, the cash games, I'm on Stroman. We agree on Stroman. We basically agree on Norris. I probably like Salazar a little bit more than you. You like Tillman a little bit more than me. And then after that, there's a bunch of guys, you know, that we can look at tournaments that have some upside, but I don't think we can trust them in cash. I'm following the money lines for the most part today. Look for the pitchers, especially on FanDuel, that are going into these -200 or more. Actually, another one like that is Irvin Santana. He's -200 against the Braves. I mean, can you stomach a guy like him? That's a huge money line for a guy like him.
Irvin Santana. The day I play Irvin Santana.
call it quits. I think I'm with you, but
I mean, I guess, you know, he has to be worth some consideration here against the Braves at -200. But
the peripherals on him are kind of like in that other, like, they're sort of in like that Chris Tillman-y range where he every once in a while will get some strikeouts. He walks too many guys. I was shocked when I saw that when I saw the -200 money line. I was like, man, did the Twins trade for somebody that I don't know about? Like, I legit wonder that. Like, I was like, who was pitching for the Twins? Like, did they make it a big trade and just get, like, Sale in a trade or something? Like what happened? And then, it was, like, Irvin Santana. So it's a little confusing. And that's actually even more confusing because it started at -180 and it's up to 200. So that one threw me off a little bit. I don't think I can do it, but he's worth mentioning because the money line is – I mean, that's the highest money line he'll ever see for the rest of his career, for sure. Yeah, sure, there's no way he's a -200 money line guy for any – I'll take the under for the rest of his career on that. Okay, let's head over to let's head over to the bats. So there's a bunch of – because the pitching is a little wonky today, there are some interesting higher run lines. We got the Red Sox. I have them cut at 6.4. They're against Happy Mike Pelfrey Day, as we say around the chat room. Blue Jays, I have them at 5.9. Orioles at 5.51. And then Twins at 5.31, which I think for them also is probably the highest they're going to be for quite some time unless they play a game in Coors. I think that we see a lot of the value maybe spread throughout those teams with some other guys sprinkled in there. Let's start with catcher. Where can we look for FanDuel or DraftKings at catcher today?
FanDuel, I think it's just the same song and dance with Victor Martinez. He's just so cheap, facing off with a righty. Stephen Wright, that guy just bewilders me. The whole Red Sox nation loves him. I hope he still pitches so in the World Series the Cubs can beat him. But the other guy I think on DraftKings and Fool is Contreras. Mm-hmm. Probably going to be hitting fifth, maybe fourth. Shields, I really like the Cubs offense. If this game was played a month ago after Shields had those, you know, 3 games where he gave up 40 runs or whatever, I mean, the Cubs would be the highest owned team on the road in U.S. Cellular, 9 innings of hitting against him. So I like them. I like Steven Vogt a little bit against Nick Martinez, moving into a really good hitter's park there, so I could see that one. And other than that, I mean, maybe the catchers in Milwaukee, in Wellington Castillo and Lucroy, but other than that, I can't really see much.
Yeah, there's Nick Martinez. There's no line yet on the Oakland-Texas game. I suspect it comes in Oakland somewhere around 5 runs. I mean, maybe a little bit more. Martinez is really bad. So yeah. There's just no early line coming out of that game. Maybe they're waiting to confirm Nick Martinez, or maybe Nick Martinez is so bad that it broke Vegas. It's hard to know. But I think you see the A's, especially some of those A's lefties up there. I'm with you. There's like a clustering of catchers for me right around that 3,000 range between Contreras, Martinez, Russell Martin's in there, Lucroy's in there. I think that all those guys they're all kind of coin flippy to me. They all strike me as the same. Yeah. They all kind of hit right around the same part of the lineup. All of their matchups are good. Their skill sets are pretty much the same. They're all kind of the same-ish guy, I would say. I mean, they're not the same guy, but you understand what I mean. Like, they all have pretty much the same skill sets and upside. The power's there. You know, you get Posey against the lefty today. He gets a little bit of consideration just because he's such a lefty masher, although the park doesn't help him. But I think it's going to be one of those, like, Martin, Contreras, Martinez, Lucroy, or Vogt going into FanDuel, some combination of those guys. And then, sort of the same thing on DraftKings. Let's head over to first base. Walk me through it here. I have a couple guys that are really standing out to me. I wonder if we're on the same page.
Yeah, well, I'm just going down. I'm just seeing that Danny Valencia has been moved to first. Not a fan by FanDuel, so...
Yeah, that's a bummer. That's a bummer. He was in all of our optimal. He was actually. I was shocked by this last night. I don't know if we were talking about this, but
yeah.
Just back to last night. He was. I try to like just make some guesses about chalk plays heading in, and I was like, man, I think Valencia on FanDuel 2,700 against the lefty. I don't know, 50% or higher on FanDuel cash, and he was only like 25% or something like that. It really confused me. I just couldn't figure out what talked people out of him, right? Like in the lefty righty matchup.
I think it sounds stupid, but I think sometimes when someone's priced down, he somehow gets lower on because people think he's worse than he is. If that makes sense. Yeah. Like when someone's, high and above, when Donaldson up there, he's just looked at like, all right, I got to fit this guy in.
Right.
But when you're just priced low, people think you suck, I guess. So
yeah, that's interesting.
Not a very good strategy, but
I was just really, like I said, I'm not an expert in like ownership percentages going in. I think sometimes I have my finger on the pulse to a certain extent, but this one I was just way off on. But anyway, so yeah, moving Valencia over to first really strips him of his value because first base is just so loaded and third base is always so weak that it sucks when that kind of thing happens. All right, so you said Valencia. Who are some other guys that we can kind of walk me down the list?
I think there's really two guys I'm going to have the 99% of exposure to. And that's going to be Ortiz and Rizzo, maybe Hanley as well. I mean, the Red Sox are just in such a good spot. I can't really think of a pitcher that I would rather have them face.
There's a reason. Like we said, we joke on we have a chat room up on the site where our users and readers kind of jump in there, ask questions, talk, have conversations, and we've had some running jokes along the way. But one of them, I think actually one of our writers, Nick, is the one who started it, Nick Rodriguez, but he started Mike Pelfrey Day as a celebration day every 5 days. And we all kind of just get in there and pat each other on the back for Mike Pelfrey Day. Yeah. He's horrible. the numbers, 4 strikeouts per 9. That's about as low as you'll see. Walks 3.67 per 9. That's about as your peripherals are 1-to-1. It's minor league. It's minor leagues time. It's head down to the minors and figure it out, or just hang it up and become a coach because 5.12 xFIP just can't get it done. There's really no other. We say it every 5 days. There's almost no other worse pitcher in the league that is this bad that gets a gig every 5 days, and we just have to target it. So yeah, Poppy really his expected points today are through the roof.
Yeah, I don't think I'm really going to be targeting much else than that. Maybe in a tournament, if I'm stacking the Blue Jays, I like Encarnacion.
Who was the second guy after Ortiz that you said?
Rizzo.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
I really like the Cubs. So I don't know if my favorite stack is going to be the Cubs or Red Sox. The Red Sox are definitely in a better run expectancy. But if I take into account ownership, I'm not sure how much lower owned the Cubs are going to be. If I think they're going to be like 10 to 5% owned, I like them a lot.
The only thing with Ortiz, the only thing that keeps him... the ownership down on him a little bit is the price. He's really expensive. Yep. So 5,700 on DraftKings is, man, that's about as high as I've ever seen a hitter. I'm not sure how many hitters have gotten up to like the 6K range, but he's really pushing it. So that is the only thing that has me a little worried. You're paying a lot of money for a bat. And bats are always variable no matter on the matchup. Like they just can go out and go for 4. I mean, Ortiz doesn't strike me as a guy who's likely to do that today, but at the same time, you just are allocating a lot of money. I don't mind – like Chris Davis at the, coming in a thousand cheaper than those guys. I mean, actually, Davis is only 3,600 on DraftKings. That's pretty advantageous against Bettis. You get a huge savings on him for a Baltimore team that's supposed to put up runs. They moved him down in the lineup, I think, to like fifth or sixth yesterday. So that hurt. That dings him a little bit if he's moving down in the lineup in favor of some of these other guys. But 3,600 on DraftKings for him in a good park and a good matchup against Bettis, it's for me hard to pass up. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I think he's always a really great tournament guy. I mean, he can go and hit two home runs off of anyone and strike out four times against anyone.
Sure.
So, it's all based on ownership with him. I like to target him when I think he's going to be super low owned. So, if he's going to be under 10, then I think he's awesome. If he's going to be over 10, then I'd probably have 0%.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, Bettis is, he's not a big strikeout guy, which is clearly Davis's issue. Again, he's a tough pitcher to get a hold on because he pitches half those games in Coors. So there is some K upside for him a little bit, but I think I can see the system's going to have a really hard time getting away from him comparatively with the other prices on guys, especially on DraftKings. 3,600 on DraftKings. I just think it's going to feel like that's a must play considering how much of a savings you get on him. Let's go over to second base. This position does not have me as excited, though. Maybe you can kind of talk me into a guy or two here.
Maybe if Syndergaard was pitching, I could talk into Greg Garcia again, but he's not. People were lucky he was going to steal like 9 bases yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that game got washed. That was interesting. It was good with Syndergaard yesterday because I was kind of torn between him and Aaron Sanchez about where to go for cash games, and it was just nice to have the weather make the decision for me. So I was in some ways thankful that that game just got washed. So I just said, okay, just easy pivot, same price to Sanchez. All right, so no Garcia for you. Who else can we look at?
Altuve. Okay. Altuve is the man against lefties. Sabathia's, he's a different pitcher than he was last year, but his xFIP, his hard contact rate, is not good. He's going to hit a wall soon. That could definitely come against the Astros. Kill lefties. Altuve hitting third. I didn't have him the other night. He hit 2 home runs. Not fun. The Crawford box is in left field. He doesn't have to put much on it. So I could see a big game against the Yankees. And other than that, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that are just kind of close for me. I think that's probably a spot I'd look to pay down to maybe like a Profar or maybe – oh. I want to play Greg Garcia again. Try not to.
If he hits leadoff,
if he's leading off.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. If he's hitting leadoff, like if he's leadoff, he's such a great spot.
Steals every time he gets on too.
Right. So that's his key. Like if he's hitting leadoff at second at 2,300 against Cologne, then I can lock and load that pretty easily. But it's just he just has to hit leadoff. That's the only difference for him. Altuve's price is much more advantageous on FanDuel at 3,900. Yeah. It's getting really close to the breaking point at 5,400 on DraftKings, where I'm probably end up having to spend down to one of these other guys. But FanDuel 3,900, that's a fine price for him, considering I'm with you. I'm no fan of Sabathia, really. And even Pedroia 3,600 against Pelfrey doesn't look too bad. There's a couple guys here. Scope, if he were to hit second again, although 4,200 is probably a little pricey. But yeah, I guess there's a couple interesting guys here.
Dozier, I think I missed him for some reason, but Dozier looks good against Harrell as well.
Yeah, like I said, that Twins run line is way higher than I thought it would be. Yeah. So the Twins are all in play today, depending on what they do with their lineup. We'll get to a couple more. I have a couple more guys to consider down the line here with the Twins. But yeah, so we were looking at Altuve for raw points, a couple of these other guys at value. It's going to depend on, it's site dependent today, because I do think Altuve is a little too expensive on DraftKings. Headed over to shortstop. Alcides Escobar hit leadoff yesterday. I don't know if they do that again. That will probably make a difference. He stinks, but if he hits leadoff, that probably that does change the tune on him. Where do you think you're going at shortstop?
I think we just touched on Altuve. I think you can bring that right over, right on to Correa. And he's probably my third favorite, though. I think my other two, which... it's somewhat priced, somewhat not. It's Tulowitzki and Bogarts.
Okay.
Tulowitzki against Cashner. Cashner's a lot better against righties, but he's not good against righties by any stretch. Mm-hmm. So I could see the Blue Jays having a big day. Tulowitzki's probably been the best bat in that lineup for a week or two. And in the Red Sox terms, I mean, we've already talked about it. If you're going to play other Red Sox, I don't know if I love Bogarts as a one-off, but if you're going to play Pedroia, Ortiz, and Betts. You just got to plug him in there as well.
Yeah, there's a grouping of guys here that I can talk myself into all on price. Bogaerts at 3,400 on draft, on FanDuel is really hard to get away from. That for a guy, for aren't many shortstops that hit third with his skill set in a game where, I mean, the Red Sox are just expected to put up runs. You're not paying a steep price for him. I think it's fine. I'm totally with you on Tulo. Price is still too low for him. Their lineup gets significantly better with Bautista back now. So, Bautista comes in and hits leadoff last night, and it stands to reason he'll do that again. And just their lineup gets stronger when he's there. You know, when it's a pivot from Ezekiel Carrera to Bautista, like they're just a way better team. So that only helps guys like Tulo, whose price is still at 2,800 is still way too low. Correa, is site dependent for me. 3,400 on FanDuel, I really like. It's a little too expensive at 45 on DraftKings, I think, just considering like you got like Machado at 3,900 on DraftKings, which is just a better price point, I think, than Correa. I wish VR was a little bit cheaper because he's great against lefties, but he's one of those guys that's been so good fantasy wise that the price just keeps creeping all the way up. There's a decent amount of options here at shortstop. I think you can get someone in that 3,500 or so range and feel pretty good about the situation that they're in.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's a couple guys lower too if you just wait for lineups and see if anyone moves up in the lineup. So, yeah, I think shortstop's a pretty good position.
Actually, Eduardo Nunez is like that too. If you expect the Twins to put up the kind of runs that Vegas is expecting, mm-hmm. he's only 3,900 on DraftKings. I like that. A little more expensive on FanDuel, but the DraftKings price at 39. He fits in there just because he's so much cheaper than Bogaerts and VR and Correa. So anyway, yeah, bunch of different options at shortstop today. You're going to see how some of the lineups shake out. Third base, we don't have Valencia there anymore at third. Third base seems to me it's just day after day the weakest position, I think, in terms of just overall strength of all the way down the line. There's a couple elite third basemen, and then there's a pretty stark drop off between the top group of guys and then pretty much everybody else. Who are you looking at third base?
Well, first of all, I think Adrian Beltre was listening yesterday, and you have to apologize.
Oh, I was so pissed. I think he was in DraftKings optimal lineups at one point, and I didn't do anything to it. It just didn't work out that he was. And I saw the first. Well, he hit two home runs, right?
Yeah.
So I saw the first one. I was like, of course, because I spent, two minutes yesterday just complaining about why he hit middle of the order. And then when he hit the second one, I just thought, well, now it's just some kind of like the universe playing a stupid joke on me because.
Yeah, he's not going to do it again a whole year either. I mean,
No way. But it's just so funny that I rarely spend any time just bashing a guy like that. And then to have him do, just a double dong was it was like a cruel joke being played on me. Anyway. After him, but we'll go. Actually, no, not after him because I don't think you can really consider him today. But who do you like at third?
Lamb's my top option as a one-off. I really like it against Matt Garza, who's another guy who used to be good, not at all anymore. Arizona in Milwaukee, it is better for right-hand power, but Lamb can hit anywhere. He has a ton of power, so I like him. Other than that, it's Todd Frazier's way too cheap on FanDuel for tournaments. I don't care if Kyle Hendricks or Nolan Ryan, 2.5K in U.S. Sellers, too cheap for him.
Yeah.
So I like him a lot. Travis Shaw, obviously, the Red Sox. I don't know if he's going to fit just because I might have four other Red Sox. So I think that might be the problem I run into with him.
Right. It's an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the Red Sox. You simply cannot play all of them. Yeah, it makes sense.
Right, because, I'd much rather have Mookie, Pedroia, Bogaerts, Ortiz, all six, Hanley and Bradley over him. So I guess If you want to play a weird fade where you fade the top of their lineup and maybe go with like a Shaw, Leone, Holt little mini stack in the bottom, I guess that's somewhat interesting. Not me, but it's interesting. And then other than that, Machado, like you mentioned with Chris Davis, Chad Bettis isn't really a strikeout guy. He gives up a lot of power. So I could see that working in Machado's favor.
Yeah, along the same lines, I don't mind Pedro Alvarez, sort of along that same line of thinking with the Orioles. He hits a little lower in the lineup. Our system is incredibly bullish on Alvarez always, which worries me. I'm not exactly sure why it loves him so much. It's mostly because it's evening out a lot of his expected home run rate over the course of many games, which I understand that the math for baseball, it's sometimes awesome. got the outro music playing over my impassioned speech about Pedro Alvarez. But so that's going to be why it's going to continually rate him so high, is because it just thinks he's going to, right, I said, like, hit a little piece of that home run every day. And he's so cheap. Like, he comes at 2,700 on FanDuel. When you can reduce the K rate for him, I'm okay with playing him, though I'd feel better with a guy like Frazier, you know, a guy like Machado for sort of even a little bit more. Those guys strike me as much safer, but Alvarez, I don't know. He's at least interesting to me.
Yeah, he's if he hits the ball, it like flies, which is why I hate taking pictures against the Orioles, not because of Pedro Alvarez, just because that's their whole team. It's like if the guy misses one time and there's a guy on base, Trumbo destroys it, Davis destroys it, Machado destroys it, Alvarez destroys it. So that's a dangerous lineup, and you can really take anyone in that lineup and, you know, look for a one-off home run.
Let's finish it off with the outfield today. A couple interesting guys here for sure. I mentioned the Twins, I think, have some players that we can definitely look at in their price point. Walk me through the outfield. I mean, we already mentioned a couple guys. Like, I don't think we need to go back over the teams like the Red Sox with Betts and some of the other, even like the Orioles with, you know, you just mentioned Trumbo and Jones. I think all these teams are in play today. You know, what do you think? Can you see yourself rostering some of these Twins bats, Blue Jays bats? Where are you looking here? Besides the guys we already mentioned, which I think are all already on the list.
Yeah, I think Sano and Kepler are awesome. I think Kepler might be my top outfield bat in tournaments. So much upside. He's not going to go highly owned at all. He's a legitimate bat, so I like him a lot. In other spots, I could see Mike Trout in tournaments. Dylan G pretty much only throws the low fastball, you know, for his strikeouts. So I like Trout. That's really all he can hit. No, that seems like an insult, but you know, that's what he likes, is the low right. fastball. And so I like him. I think George Springer is interesting. We've mentioned the Astros a little bit. I like that stack. And other than that, I guess Billy Hamilton I could see in AT&T, just because if he hits one in the gap, I don't know if anyone's going to get him. So, I mean, there's a lot of people. Ryan Braun against a lefty in Miller Park, like that. So there's a lot.
Yeah, the list is almost too long today for outfield, I think. There's just too many bats in good spots. Sano, I have him as probably one of my top value plays for the whole day, just only at 3,000 on FanDuel, considering that what kind of spot that team is in with their run line. It's going to be hard. He, you know, the righty-righty thing doesn't worry me at all for him. So I love him. Like we said about Betts, is going to be up there. Even honestly, Bautista hitting leadoff, I know he's 5,000, but that is just such a great spot for it. I wasn't trying to explain this today. We were talking in the chat room yesterday about, you know, people asking why does the system love Bautista so much? I'm like, well, imagine if David Ortiz hit leadoff, you know? Like like the plate experience expectation for these guys, no one else with his skill set. I mean, Trout sort of a Trout of speed, so it's a little different, but with his skill set, hits this high in the order. They hit them, you know, third or fourth, because there's an idea about, you know, well, you need to have your power in the middle of the lineup and your speed at the top. But the Blue Jays smartly have said no, or Bautista has like a 17% walk rate, have him hit first, because he just gets on base more than anybody else on the team. I know it's 5,000 is pretty expensive, but I still love the spot for him, even against the righty-righty matchup. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think you can spend all the way up for a guy like him, or is there just too many other options?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I guess I can see the reasoning. I'm not going to do it. Just of course, in a stack, that's, you know, you have to have him if you're going to stack the Blue Jays. But at 5K, especially on FanDuel, I'd much rather just go down to a Mookie.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, let me actually rewind for a second, because I just looked this up. He's only 4,100 on DraftKings. If he hits leadoff again, that's a must play.
Unless you believe in, you know, because his timing did look off a lot yesterday, so unless you believe in that, then
yeah, I don't know. So some people were mentioning this. Like, I know kind of where I fall with things like this, and where I fall with injuries and timing and letting your eyes do the talking when it comes to judging a player. I just don't ever trust that, because it's just too impossible for me to figure out when streaks are going to start or stop. I'm not a person that like analyzes people's swings or how they look. And I just don't. And I think that the casual baseball fan just really shouldn't do that, because it's just too difficult. And it also assumes that you're going to watch every swing from every player in the majors, right? So you can, if you're a person that wants to break down how a player looks and have that be the ultimate decision in how you evaluate players, That really only works if you watch every single swing from every player, which you're not doing. So, and the other thing too is you can get a lot of confirmation bias in baseball because, so like the old adage is, right, it's like, oh, if you do something, if a baseball player does something 30% of the time for his career, he's in the Hall of Fame, right? So if you spend your time watching a player, most times the player is not going to do anything, which if you think that you don't want to play a guy, you will have that confirmed because they just don't, they're 70% of the time they're not going to do anything. Does that make sense? Like, so, or, you know, or 65% if he's a decent on-base guy or whatever. But that is just, that's going to be a lot of confirming things that might not be correct. So that's the only thing I get a little bit worried about when people say, well, so-and-so looks off, or I'm going to wait till so-and-so warms up, or I just don't, I think that goes wrong for you more than it goes right. And I just get worried about, you know, things like rust. And I don't know, if the team thinks he's healthy enough to play, then I'm fine with playing him.
Yeah, I agree. I guess just given so many options, with it being his second game back,
right?
I might, you know, just rather side with safety. But no, I definitely do agree with, you know, trying to predict who being in a guy's head. The only reason I really said that was because he did make remarks saying that his timing was off.
I'm not picking on you. I know you're not like this. I know that you're not. You and like I have the same kind of
guy. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like his BVP.
You're right.
0-3 with 2 strikeouts. What are you talking about? Yeah.
No, I know you and I are pretty much in lockstep on things like this. Yeah. And I wasn't saying that you think this way.
No, I know.
But it was just I do see that kind of line of thinking come up, and I really try to combat it as much as possible by saying I just think it's dangerous, right? It's just a dangerous way to think that you can prove to yourself, you know, I put prove in quotes because I'm being a little sarcastic about that. Like, you can prove it to yourself by watching a player because, like I said, 65% of the time, the best players are just going to get out. And that will make you think that you made the correct decision when it's not necessarily. All right. I've gone on my little diatribe about looking at players and trying to make decisions about that. I'm sure that will not be the last time we talk about something like that. Any final thoughts for today for you? Sum up the day in like 2 sentences. If you were to just like kind of recap everything for us.
Tough pitching. Played some tournaments and play Red Sox. If you're looking for a home run, play Rizzo.
There you go. I think you got it. I think we're on the same page. Pitching a little weird. A lot of bats to consider. It's going to be spreading out some of your value between a bunch of different guys and teams. It's probably not the worst way to go today, especially if you want to hedge a little bit on the pitching being unsafe. All right. DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. I'm Doug Norrie. That's Austin Varney. Head over to the site. Take a look at all the free content that we have going up there. And also make sure you get a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's going to help you calculate FanDuel and DraftKings lineups for Major League Baseball. One touch gets the lineups. You can stack, you can double stack, you can player include, player exclude, really all the features you need to create a bunch of different lineups for those sites. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. All right, man, that's it for us. Good luck tonight, bro.
See you
later.